All of us have always admired the great Richie Beno. In fact, I was reading a little article from Martin Flanagan a few weeks ago, and this is a new book out called Beno and Appreciation. And Martin said, a timely book. We're approaching another season of T20 cricket where the commentary often sounds like a yodeling contest in which individuals with microphones attempt to outdo one another by bellowing, ho, 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 that, there goes another one. Richie Beno, of course, said of television commentary, put your brain in gear, and if you can add to what's on the screen, then do it, but otherwise, shut up. That, in my opinion, is the greatest thing Richie Beno ever said. The wisest, and maybe also the most revealing, since it identifies Beno as someone who had no need or desire to put himself between the viewer and the action. There's been a few books written about Richie Beno, but Brian Matthews is the author of the latest book, In Appreciation, and he joins us at 25 past two. Hi, Brian.
Good day, Brett.
Nice to talk to you. What was the basis of this book? A little bit about your background and why you wrote the book.
As I say in the book, I used to play, like all kids, you know, backyard, or in this case it was out in the street cricket, and playing test matches, and I was the Australian captain, and Richie Beno was actually in real life, played his first test while I was engaged in one of these, and I picked him in my team before he was really picked in the test teams. So that was the start of it. I tell that story in the book. But more seriously, you know, like so many cricket followers and cricket lovers, I got to admire him first as a player, and especially when he became captain. And as I also say in the book, in fact, it's an important part of the book. Mm. I saw the Old Trafford, the famous fourth test at Old Trafford, which Richie sort of won for us with Alan Davidson. And that sort of just spurred me on a bit further. But then years later, that well after his well-established record as a commentator, that it occurred to me to, perhaps follow this up. And as I tell the story in the book, I thought of a biography because I had done a couple of biographies reasonably successfully, and I thought, I'll have a shot at that, and wrote to him about it. But he was never on for that. He said one biography is enough, and there was one of him, though not a terrific one. And so that was that. He wouldn't cooperate, and so had to do something different.
So what do you try and bring out in the book about Richie, Brian? Because as I mentioned, there's been a few books written about Richie and his great career as a cricketer and then going on to be one of the finest commentators. So what do you sort of unearth, if you like, in your book that we mightn't have known about Richie?
Well, I don't know whether there's something there that nobody's known, though in fact, you know, when you put all the things together, you perhaps get at least a better picture. What I was interested in was, first of all, obviously his cricketing career, and particularly his captaincy, and there's lots of things to say about that, which are probably fairly well known. The next thing, though, was something that's not greatly dwelt on, and that is that although we all know what a great, terrific commentator he became, he actually consciously set out to learn how to do this. And this is when he was still a cricketer, and before he was captain, he was a test cricketer and he was in England, but just in the team really, but he deliberately in England set out to find mentors and sort of teachers, people in the business of sports journalism and sports commentary, and to learn from them. And he did this with a bit of personal sacrifice. And it was only years later that it actually did him any good, so to speak, because there wasn't much doing of that kind for him while he was still playing. And the other thing that interested me was the privacy of the man, which part of which, of course, is refusing to cooperate with a biography, which he has every right to do. Mm. His privacy is quite interesting. It's often brought up talking about this book with people, and it occurred to me that while you can say that he's a private individual in certain ways, he actually was always available. You know, he wasn't a private person like, say, the some authors like J.D. Salinger, say.
Yep, yep.
And I mentioned some of the people in the book who refused biography, just like he did. But he wasn't unavailable. It's just that there were certain boundaries which he very carefully sort of patrolled. And I suppose one way that he did this was that it was very hard, when I still thought I was going to do a biography, it was very hard to get anybody, any of his colleagues or anybody else to come out about him, so to speak.
No doubt. We're talking to Brian Matthews, author of Benno and Appreciation. And Brian, I think was there a trip to South Africa to visit the apartheid back in 1976? He took an invitation side over there. Can you give us a little bit of an account of that?
Yeah, it was called the Wanderers, and it's a good point. He always said that he would never manage a side because he had so much experience of seeing, firsthand the terrific troubles that managers of cricket teams had with recalcitrant players and all kinds of bureaucracy and all that stuff. And he said he'd never do it, but he was convinced to do this one. He convinced himself because it was the height of apartheid, of course, and he decided that to take the Wanderers side to South Africa might contribute to attacking in some way apartheid. But in particular, I guess he himself thought, well, if I go there, I'll find out what's going on. And he said that, he said probably the best way to know is to actually do it. And he had very strict rules the availability of the whole ground to all people of all colours, apart from the members. Everybody should be able to get a drink at any bar, at any time, regardless of colour, all these sorts of things. And his own team had a West Indian and other representatives in it. And his rules for the whole contest, which involved that the opposition should always have some, four Indigenous players.
Yeah,
which of course it was exactly against the rules of apartheid.
It was. Brian, great to chat to you. It looks like a great read for Christmas. I must say, myself and my father every year buy each other a sporting book. So we have a massive library at home. So this one looks like a beauty. Benno and Appreciation, written by Brian Matthews, retailing at $29.99. All good. And any bad bookstores as well, it'll have it, no doubt about it. Good on you, Brian. Really appreciate it, and have a great Christmas.
Good on you. Same to you. Thanks, mate.